Welcome to the Psychology of Attractiveness podcast. I'm Rob Burris. In this month's episode, how a higher pitched voice can make you sound more attractive and suspicious. Also, war. What is it good for? We investigate the link between warfare and sex, and how do our hormones influence perceptions of art? This is the April edition of the Psychology of Attractiveness podcast from oraclelab.co.uk. Men and women may look different, but it's obvious that they sound different too. Men tend to have lower pitched voices than women. This pitch variation is controlled by sex hormones, so it's no surprise that attractive women tend to have higher voices and attractive men
lower voices.
But voice pitch is a unique biological trait because, unlike body shape or facial bone structure, we can change our voice pitch at will. And I'm not talking about Justin Bieber-style auto-tuning or other forms of digital trickery. We can change the pitch of our voice on the fly, with potentially important social effects. For example, we've known for some years that when pairs of men talk, the one who feels himself more dominant will begin to speak in a deeper voice, and the other will raise his pitch as a show of submissiveness, the vocal equivalent of a dog putting its tail between its legs. How about women? This is a question that was recently tackled by Paul Fricaro and colleagues at the University of Aberdeen. They showed 45 women two male faces. One of the men had a feminine face. Not that I like to mention him twice, but you can think of this face as Bieber-esque. The other man had a more masculine face shape, with a stronger jawline and more prominent brow ridges. The women were asked to imagine that the photograph was of a man they'd met at a bar the previous night. They were now going to phone him up and leave a voicemail. The women were all given a scripted message to read into the microphone, and it went like this.
Hi, we met at the bar last night. I was just calling you to see if you wanted to go out sometime. Call me back.
I know, hardly the fruitiest of messages, but scientists aren't renowned for their chat-up technique. After they left the voicemail, the women rated a series of masculine and feminine male faces, so the researchers could find out what type of man each woman preferred. Fricaro's findings, published this month in the Journal of Evolutionary Psychology, showed that women tended to increase their voice pitch when leaving a voicemail for the type of man they found most attractive. Women who liked masculine men spoke with a higher pitch when leaving a message for the masculine man, and women who liked feminine men spoke with a higher pitch when leaving a message for the feminine man. It seems as though women are aware that men prefer higher pitched voices, and so modulate the pitch of their own voice to snag the kind of man they like most. I don't know about you, but for me, these results pose more questions than they answer, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. For example, if men find higher pitched voices attractive, why don't women speak in their highest pitched voices all the time? What have they got to lose from perpetually conversing in falsetto? With, frankly, amazing timing, Gillian O'Connor of McMaster University in Hamilton, Canada, has recently done some more research on voice pitch that answers this very question. She had men and women listen to voices that had been altered in pitch and say which of the voices, the one that was high-pitched or the one that was low-pitched, sounded more like someone who would cheat on their partner. The results of the experiment showed that women thought deeper-voiced men sounded less faithful, and men thought higher-pitched women were the most likely to cheat. So there you go. By increasing her voice pitch, a woman can make herself more attractive, but she'll also sound unfaithful. Because being thought of as promiscuous is hardly any woman's aim, she can limit that possibility by lowering her voice. Now that's what I call deep. This time of the year is the peak breeding season for many animal species, particularly birds, but if the statistical spike in birth rates at the end of the year is anything to go by, for humans too. It's no surprise then that Alfred Lord Tennyson wrote that spring is the season for love. But this year, with turmoil across the Middle East and Northern Africa, we've been experiencing a different kind of season, what's come to be known in the media as the Arab Spring. Explaining the origins of the popular uprisings in Tunisia, Egypt, and Libya is beyond the capabilities of many political analysts, so the chances of me being able to shed any light on the issue is remote. But a recent research paper by Li Chang and colleagues from the Chinese University of Hong Kong has drawn an interesting link between warfare and that more peaceful springtime behaviour, mating. Chang exposed men and women to attractive or unattractive opposite sex faces, then had them read a series of war-supporting statements. The research, published in the journal Personality and Social Psychology Bulletin, showed that for women, it didn't matter what type of face they'd seen, attractive or unattractive, they were equally likely to endorse the statements. But men were much more likely to agree with the statements, in other words, to be more pro-war, after they'd seen the attractive faces. So it seems that being exposed to attractive women can actually make men more pro-war. But perhaps you're not convinced. It's possible that being around attractive women makes men generally more frustrated, and therefore aggressive. Chang thought of this too, so he repeated his experiment and found that priming men with pictures of attractive women didn't make them more likely to endorse non-military conflicts, such as arguments over trading relationships, and it didn't make them more aggressive in general. We often think of warfare as being prompted by nationalistic zeal, so Chang also checked if exposing men to patriotic images of the Chinese national flag had the same effect. But turns out men were more gung-ho after seeing women's legs than after seeing the Chinese flag. Legend has it that the kidnapping of Helen and her subsequent smuggling to Troy launched 1,000 ships and led to war between the Greeks and Trojans. In the real world, many pre-industrial societies, such as the native tribes of the Amazon rainforest, explicitly cite the kidnapping of women as a goal of warfare. Modern day conflict is admittedly more complex than all of this, but perhaps the origins of human warfare, way back in evolutionary prehistory, are tied up, like so many human behaviours, in sex. I've talked before about how the ovulatory cycle is a powerful determinant of women's romantic preferences. If you're interested in the full details, check out the episode from September and October 2010. But the theory in brief goes like this. Just before women ovulate, usually around 14 days after the onset of menses, their attraction to athletic, confident men peaks. They're also more interested in short-term relationships around this time, and they fantasize more about men who are not their long-term partner. These temporary changes in psychology have peculiar effects on a wide range of behaviors, from the foods women prefer to eat to the clothes they like to buy. Recently, Jeffrey Rudsky and colleagues from Muhlenberg College, Pennsylvania, have extended this list to include art appreciation. Over the course of a month, they had 83 women provide reactions to paintings by American artist Georgia O'Keeffe. In case you're not familiar with O'Keeffe's work, then a Google image search will do the trick. Alternatively, head over to psychologyofattractivenesspodcast.blogspot.com, where I've posted an example picture. Or you can just look at the screen of your MP3 device. That's Georgia O'Keeffe's Black Iris 3, a portrait of a flower that, I think it's fair to say, could be interpreted by the cleanest of the clean-minded as having a certain double meaning. The researchers looked through the women's responses to the paintings and noted whenever a sexual interpretation was made. They found that 31% of women in the fertile phase of their cycle interpreted the paintings as overtly sexual, but this dropped to only 9% of women in the non-fertile phase. So it seems as though ovulation can change your behaviour not only in the bar or the bedroom, but also in the art gallery. That's all for this episode. If you'd like to find out more about the research featured in today's show, head over to www.oraclelab.co.uk and click on podcasts. You can also keep up with new research throughout the month by following Oracle Lab on Twitter. Until next time, thanks for listening to the Psychology of Attractiveness podcast. I'm Rob Burris.